did 2024 go for you? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it just kind of in between? Maybe you felt out of whack. Maybe you found yourself kind of on the verge of tears and you couldn't quite put your finger on why. You feel like you've been desperate for something to break loose, but you don't know what that something is. When we get to feeling like this, it just might be that God is trying to birth something new in your soul. When a woman is pregnant with a baby, she doesn't really know much about the child. She doesn't know what he or she will look like. She doesn't know if he or she will have his father's eyes. She doesn't know if she will have her mother's fantastic sense of humor. It's just that way when God is birthing something spiritual in our lives. We can't see the details, but we know something is growing. I believe God is always birthing something new in and around us. He is not an inactive God. This is why we must be always paying attention and not lapse into complacency. If we are prayerfully attentive, God will reveal details about what he wants to do next. Isaiah 42:9 reads, "New things I declare, before they spring into being, I announce them to you." Listen closely and pray for the future that God will show you. The new thing might be off in the distance, but our prayers can bring it closer. During whatever God is up to, you might cry. You might be miserable. I've never once met a woman who just had a baby say, "That was fun. I can't wait to do it again." When God births something new, it is labor intensive. It can make us feel all sorts of stuff we'd rather not. There's something about birthing something new that makes feelings rise up from the past. That thing your friend did to you 10 years ago bubbles up to the surface. That thing your brother said to you at Christmas makes you grind your teeth all night. You just keep playing those tapes over and over in your head. Every pain that should be in the past stabs you in the heart today. But God wants to heal up those old things to make way for the new things. And he wants to do them. The old stuff is a roadblock to the new stuff. The old has to go in order to make way for the new. Our problem is we don't mind if we have some new things, but we also want to keep the old. Jesus asked this in Matthew 9:16-17. "Who would patch up old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved." People who sew would know this. If you patch a hole in an old pair of jeans with a patch made from a new pair of jeans, the new jean patch will shrink during the washing and drying process. The patch made of new jeans will pull away from the old in the wash, and it will rip the cloth. The jeans you are trying to fix in the end will be destroyed. And there's also a problem with putting new wine into old wineskins. As wine ages, it ferments and it releases gases that pressurize an airtight container. In Jesus' day, they used wineskins made from leather pouches to store their wine. A new wineskin is fresh and it's supple, and it could expand and stretch as the wine fermented. But old leather from a previous used wineskin would already been stretched to the limit. Putting new wine into old wineskins would cause the leather to crack, burst, and ruin both the wineskins and the wine. These parables reveal this truth. If we fail to understand something new is needed, two valuable items, clothing and wineskins, can be completely ruined. In a spiritual sense, Jesus meant that the new covenant was needed and it could not be blended in with the old covenant. And in a practical sense, Jesus meant something new is needed and it can't be put into an old thing. I deeply believe that God wants to do a new thing here at Faith Wesleyan Church this year. And I hope you'll believe it with me. Well, people aren't always interested in the new things God is doing. We like the old stuff. The old stuff is more comfy. We have a deep attachment to the old stuff. Last spring, I refused to give up my old New Balance tennis shoes, and they were in terrible shape. When I set them on the floor, they were so worn out that they would rock back and forth like a rocking horse. And I knew every time I put them on, I was hurting my feet. But I still refused to buy new shoes, and I kept wearing the old ones. And as a result, I developed an agonizing case of plantar fasciitis. 7 months later, I am still suffering from it. This is the reason I wear clunky old tennis shoes with everything, including dress clothes. They are new, and they do help. I call them my magic shoes, and what I mean by magic is orthopedic. If I'd not been so stubborn, if I'd not been so attached to the old, if I'd been willing to embrace something new, I would not be in this situation today. And even at that, I still can't bear to throw those old tennis shoes in the garbage where they belong. I think they're sitting in the garage. I looked for them this morning. Maybe Jim threw them away. I knew good and well that I can't ever wear those shoes again. We can't bear to let God get rid of the old stuff. We want him to do kind of a little magic trick with the old stuff. So we dream about the past, and we wish to go back to happier times. But wishing for the past is like looking in the rearview mirror while driving and never once looking out the front windshield. If you keep driving like that, you're gonna crash. Going backward in life is a sign that something is wrong. If you've ever loved or worked with someone who's been stricken with dementia, you know what I mean. Their brains are going backward. They move from a developed adult to a helpless baby. Moving forward, which includes accepting change, is a sign of health and maturity. Hebrews 6:1 encourages us to go on to maturity. Maturing and going forward is what we are supposed to be doing. Immaturity and going backward is not what we're supposed to be doing. One of the ways immaturity manifests itself is longing for the way things used to be and refusing to change anything. Maturity and moving forward manifests itself by trusting God to do something new and being open to it when it comes. In order to get the full effect of the new thing, we need to cooperate with what God wants to do in our families, in our friendships, and in this church. My 600-pound life is a reality show that features patients who weigh at least 600 pounds or more. The most I've ever seen a patient weigh was 1,000 pounds. These patients journey from all over the United States to Texas to visit Dr. Nowzardian. It's sort of like making a Mecca to the Holy Land. Dr. Now is a world-renowned bariatric surgeon. One of the things Dr. Now tells his patients is they have to change. He is super blunt and he brokers no excuses. He tells them they can no longer eat what they used to eat. They can no longer be sedentary. They have to change. The bariatric patients who experience success do one thing. They change. And those who do not change eventually gain all their weight back plus some. I have a lot of respect for these bariatric patients, one way or the other, because the work that they do is hard work. And I do have a lot of sympathy for those who cannot find the inner strength to change, for those who cling to the past. God said in Isaiah 43:18, "Do not cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I am going to do." To see that new thing, we have to change. We have to let go of the past and stop dwelling on what happened a long time ago. God also said in Isaiah 43:19, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Here the prophet Isaiah is urging the people to forget what happened in the past, not even to think about them. As human beings, we have a hard time not thinking back to the past because that's where our memories are. And we have so many memories and experiences blocking us from the place that God wants to take us next. Some of these memories are filled with pain, but some of these memories are happy ones. Sometimes the happiest memories are the biggest roadblocks to new things. We're usually ready and willing to move past hard times, but we just want to stay in those happy comfort zones. But God is doing a new thing. Can't you see it? Can't you feel it? It's springing up in front of your eyes. If you blink, you're going to miss it. What new thing is God going to do for us in 2025? God proclaims through the prophet, "I am making a way through the wilderness." If God wants to take us somewhere new, he will make the path and he will lead us out of the wilderness. Some people spend their entire lives wandering in a spiritual wilderness. Spiritual deserts are filled with people who carry the baggage of their past and wander aimlessly on the hot sands of hopelessness. Every time they see a way out, it turns out to be a mirage. The only real way to turn to God and away from those traps that keep us in the desert is to take God's hand, and he will lead us out. When we take God's hand, we submit to God and we commit to making positive personal changes. God is doing a new thing by making streams in the wasteland. A wasteland has no fresh water. It's a place where dreams go to die. Hope and faith in God just wither away. We're living in an era of spiritual wastelands. And this holds true for some of our churches, which have become their own kind of spiritual wasteland. Some churches have lost their spiritual vitality and are suffering from deep spiritual thirst. The church has started to look too much like the world, and some have become wishy-washy in an attempt to placate our pagan society. Revelation 3:15 speaks about these kind of churches. "I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold." Some churches' worship services are flat, dry, and vapid. The singing and preaching need a heavy dose of Geritol. Some of us have iron poor blood. I admit there are some Sundays when I'm the one who needs the Geritol. As a whole, the American church has lost its faith in the power of Christ, making them even more of a wasteland. This has left some people slaves to a myriad of physical and spiritual illnesses. Lately, I've come to realize many of the things we do in church are missing what people really need emotionally and spiritually. While some things are truly helpful, they don't reach deep down where people need release and freedom. I don't believe that anyone is here on the last Sunday of the year by accident. Why are you here? The reason you think you're here may not be the reason you are really here. Some of you would say, "Well, I'm here because that's just what I do on Sunday mornings. It's a habit." And others of you would say, "Well, I'm here because my mother made me come." And some of you would say, "I'm here because I want to see my friends." It doesn't really matter why we think we're here. I think Jesus brought us here because we have probing questions that need to be answered. We need healing on a deep level. I would like to see God give us this healing for ourselves, our loved ones, and then to our community. I would like to see God use us to help people in our community find healing and freedom. This sermon is the introduction to a series that I'm beginning next week. Frankly, I believe it could be the most important sermon series of my life. And I want to encourage you to be here for the next few weeks, either in person or online. I want to explore the new things that I believe God wants to do in this church. This series came to life during the summer as I began to think about how making life-giving changes in this church are necessary. We got to change. We need to make some changes. No question. My thinking took an interesting turn due to the interactions that I've had lately with Elena. And as we've studied this book together with women on Tuesday nights, My conversations with Elena have been an important part of the direction that this series is going to take. I am convinced that God wants to do a new thing in this church, in your families, and in our spiritual lives. God wants to break down strongholds, transform dark places into light places, bring joy to the sorrowing, bring reconciliation to broken relationships, and turn hard hearts into soft ones. God sent his own son, Jesus Christ, into this vast wasteland. He came to forgive us and mend our souls. God looked over the world and saw what a mess we human beings have made of it, and he sent his son to clean things up and set things straight. God sent his son to bring newness into our lives. It's my prayer that every one of us will embrace the newness that is coming to this church in the coming year.